Thank you all. I told Janice earlier, that's pretty good, just one hand. That was great. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, good morning, everybody. It is really good to be back home and to be able to share life with you again. We had a great time. We spent some time with our granddaughter, and it was her birthday, and we got to hang out with her for that, so that was cool. And then spent some time with our son down on the island and where it was warm and really beautiful walking on the beach. And just, oh, it was so nice. It was a great time, but we're glad to be home and glad to be able to be back and sharing life once again. You know, I don't know if you've noticed, but James keeps coming at us. I don't know if you've been reading the letter to James, if you've been doing that on a regular basis and, you know, trying to read each chapter each day and just kind of staying up with it, man, he keeps coming at us. And, you know, I don't want to lump everybody into this, but, man, I'm just telling you, he hammers me every day. I mean, I read this, I'm like, really? Can you just let up a little bit? Mel did such an incredible job last week of talking about how our faith and how our actions come to this place of intersection, and then we move on and live that out in our lives. How our faith is so powerful, and being that relationship with Jesus is so important, and then out of that relationship comes loving God and loving one another. And what a special job he did with that. And what a powerful word that was last week as he shared that. In James chapter 3, I don't know if you read ahead in James chapter 3, but in James chapter 3, James goes from preaching to meddling. I'm just telling you. Wait till you hear this today. I mean, James goes from all this general stuff he's been talking about, now he's going to get specific. And he's going to talk about the words that we say. The things that come out of our mouths as Christ followers. And he's going to talk about how genuine faith means that Christ has lordship even over our tongues. And then I'm not sure if James prayed this prayer of David from the Psalms, but it would seem like he might have. Listen to this. This is what David said in Psalm 141. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And then in just a moment, we're going to hear what James has to say. It's like, okay, wow. That needs to be our prayer for each of us every day as we seek to figure out how to live out this real faith in real life. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes what I've discovered about life is that our tongues can get us in a lot of trouble pretty quickly. This young guy, first day on a job in a new job in a supermarket. He was assigned to work in the produce department. So he went to his place of assignment and he was doing stocking and doing all the stuff that you do in the produce department. And this lady comes up to him and says she wants to buy a half head of lettuce. And he looked at her real funny and he said, "We don't sell half heads of lettuce." She said, "I want a half head of lettuce." And he did everything he could think of to dissuade this woman from wanting this half a head of lettuce. And finally he said, "Look, ma'am, I'll tell you what, I need to speak to my manager and I'll come back and we'll figure this out." So off he goes to go to the back of the store to talk to his manager, not knowing that she was right behind him. And he gets to his manager and they're standing in the back of the store and he says, "Sir, this stupid old bag out front wants to buy a half a head of lettuce." And about that moment, the manager's face is like, you know, this horrified look, right? And he turns and sees this lady standing beside him, and he said, and this nice lady would like to buy the other half. Would that be okay? And the store manager, kind of relieved, says, sure, that'd be great. Go ahead and sell her half a head of lettuce. So later on that day, the store manager was so impressed with that, he said, man, he walked up to this young guy, he said, man, you are so quick on your feet. That's so good. Where are you from, son? And he said, I'm from Toronto, Canada, the home of beautiful hockey players and ugly women. Store manager paused for a second, and he said, my wife's from Toronto. And he said, oh, what team did she play for? Yes, sometimes what we say, you know, is funny, and sometimes not so much. Sometimes, and I don't know about you, I'm just preaching to myself today, and if y'all want to listen, that's good. But sometimes what I know about me is sometimes I engage my mouth before I engage my brain. I don't know if that ever happened to anybody else, but I'm telling you, sometimes it happens to me. The words I speak are out of my mouth and going to whomever ears they're going to go to before I can reach out. In fact, it wouldn't help if I could reach out and grab them because I can never get them back. There are way, way too many times that our tongues run wild. And I would say that's for all of us. With our tongues, we make a mess of life with our friends, with our families, with the people we work with our neighbors. Most of the time, with people that we love and care about. How we say what we say takes a lot of different forms. You know, complaining, blessing, cursing, compliments, concerns, criticisms, praise, sarcasm. Cindy says, I have this gift of cynicism, and it comes out when I speak, that I'm cynical. I don't know if I agree with that. I don't. She's not right. I don't know. I don't think, right, Scott? She's not right. No, see? Okay. You know, a lot of things come out of our mouths. And that happens to all of us. Sometimes we say things that we don't mean. And sometimes we say things that we mean that we shouldn't have said. Someone once said, if your mind goes blank, don't forget to turn the sound off. Another person said, it's better to remain quiet and look a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Listen, here's the thing about James, man. I'm just telling you. You love this guy or not? You like reading this book or not? This guy hammers us on accountability. He takes us to a whole nother level when it comes to being accountable to who we are as followers of Christ. He calls the church, he calls all of us to this new level of commitment. I want us to take a look this morning at one really big reason to be concerned about the terror and the danger of a runaway tongue. That reason is this. There is incredible power in a runaway tongue. My best guess is that along the way, somewhere in our lives, we have all heard sticks and stones. Right? Oh, say it with me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Really. I wish I had a dime for every time I've said those words. I grew up in a neighborhood where we said that a lot. I grew up where name calling and being harsh to one another was the norm of the day. And I think back about that. I think back to those growing up years. And I think to myself, that little saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That may be the most bogus, false statement in the history of little kid sayings. Words will never hurt me. Getting called names doesn't hurt. That's so not true. So not true. You know, as I said, you know, when I was growing up, name calling and making fun of one another and, you know, digging on each other was a constant part of my growing up years. Constant part of life. And then as I got older, there were even adults that used words that were harsh at best, painful, to help motivate, to be better, to be a better ball player, to be better in what I was doing. Some of those are pretty clearly etched in the memory bank in my mind. Maybe as I'm saying those things, you're thinking about some things in your own past that are still there that are pretty painful. Mike Iaconelli, he wrote a book called Messy Spirituality. And in his book, he tells his story about Margaret. Margaret was a 9-year-old little girl. Her mother was a single parent, and Margaret's responsibility. She had 4 siblings younger than her. 9 years old, 4 siblings younger than her. Her responsibility every morning, every day, was to get her sisters and brothers up, get them ready for school, feed them breakfast before she went to school. 9 years old. She had to be sure that her sisters and brothers were taken care of before she left and before she got to school. Well, her teacher was not happy that Margaret was consistently late to her classroom. She never knew why. She never bothered to figure it out or to find out why. She just was constantly nagging and angry at Margaret for being late. One day, Margaret walked into her classroom late. And her teacher just got to that point and she was fed up with it. And she said, "Margaret, I want you to come up here." Brought her to the front of the class. And she said to her other students in the class, "Margaret is irresponsible and undisciplined. So what I want you to do this day is, while Margaret stands here, I want you to come up one by one and write something on the chalkboard about Margaret." One by one, 24 students walked up to that chalkboard. They wrote things like, "Margaret is ugly. Margaret is a dummy. Margaret is stupid. Margaret is fat. Margaret is selfish. And you can imagine, as each one of those comments went up on the board, how that must have pierced the heart of that little 9-year-old girl. Forty years later, she was sitting in a counselor's office. And she was recounting to this counselor how, even at 40 years later, those comments still were like yesterday. And how those comments really had come to life in her life. She'd become every one of those things that were written about her. She battled with depression and discouragement. She was angry most of the time. But here's the thing. That day in class, there were 25 students. The last student to go to the chalkboard that day was another little girl. And she wrote on that chalkboard, "Margaret is my friend." 40 years later, she told the counselor it was that last line that kept her from taking her own life. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Just so not true. So not true. Words hurt. Margaret's story, I just have to tell you, even as I retold that just now, and as I've thought about this all week, every time I read it, every time I've heard it, every time I've thought about it, it makes me cringe. Because it's so real. I can see those things happening and taking place in some of my friends' lives that I can remember. And you know, we could say, oh, that's just a story in a book. That doesn't really happen today. I mean, people don't go through that kind of stuff anymore. Margaret's story's in a book, but I wonder if there may be a Margaret sitting among us today. It didn't take me, I've got to tell you, it didn't take me just a few seconds of reading that story and thinking to recall a story in my own life where words definitely hurt. Maybe as I've told that story, and maybe as you're sitting here this morning, all kinds of emotions have kind of come to the surface. Maybe I've opened this can of worms that you wish I would have just left closed. And one part of me wants to say, look, if that happened, if I've stirred up stuff that you've been able to pack down and put a lid on over the years, and I've stirred that up and the lid popped off, I'm sorry for that. But another part of me wants to say, maybe today is God's time. Maybe today is God's time to begin to let it go. And yet another part of me wants to say, if any of us can relate to that story, please, please, please don't ever do it to someone else. That verse in Proverbs, that is so right. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. How many times in our lives do we never think past the moment and the words that we say are killers? As followers of Jesus, there's no question in my mind. We need to guard how we say and what we say. James asks us to to live out real faith in real life, and to always be better. I want to ask you to grab your bulletin or your Bible or your phone app. If you have a phone app, that's cool too. But I want you to follow along as I read these words from James to you and to me today. These are powerful, powerful words. Listen to what James has to say about how we say what we say. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. For we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we'd be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. Now, the Message says it this way. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. If you could find someone whose speech is perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of life. Then he goes on in verse 3. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even through the winds, even though the winds are strong. Now, if you want to underline a couple verses 5 and 6 are good ones to underline. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. You can't tame the tongue, it's never been done. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Now, here's another couple of verses if you want to underline a couple, 9 and 10. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. So blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. My friends, this can't go on. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Wow. Wow. Chuck Swindoll is a pastor, he's an author, and he wrote in one of his books, he talked about the pollution in our world that's caused by idle and unholy words. And he talked about how in one of his churches he challenged his congregation for 1 month. He asked them to do as David said in that prayer, to guard their mouths, to ask God to guard what they say, guard their tongues and what came out. And I wonder how different our world would be. I wonder how different our lives would be. Our church, our community, our homes, our families would be if we would make it a point to carefully guard what we say, how we say what we say, every day. Now, I want us to take a minute or two before we come to the table. I want us to take just a minute or two because I believe with all my heart the Holy Spirit's here and moving. And maybe somebody here, and you're just struggling with this because you know it's real in your own life, that hurt and that pain is there. Maybe you're thinking about stuff that you've said and you really don't, you wish you didn't, wouldn't have said it, and you need to say, God, forgive me for that. I want us to take just a couple of minutes and just be quiet and let the Holy Spirit wash over us and speak to us. And move in our midst and change our hearts and rearrange us to bring Him glory. So take a moment. Bow your heads right where you are and seek the heart of God.